I don't really know how to tell you how I feel about this place. I call it my annual growth ring. It's not that I don't grow at any other time, but we have 10 days of concentrated worship to the Lord. And I get to hear what the Lord's done for every one of you. I appreciate every testimony I hear and every blessing that the Lord has given and every prayer that's been answered. I've seen several prayers answered right here on these grounds this week. And my heart is full. And the Lord gave me some thoughts I'd like to share with you. I feel that the Lord would have me to do that. And brought several of them in several different discourses at home, and but I feel that the Lord has added to them. And listened a few minutes, wasn't here, but I listened to a few minutes of Brother Donnie's message the other day, and I know there's going to be some overlap. I appreciated it very much. I appreciate the special songs that we've had this evening. My name is Joseph Gallenbeck. I'm from Junction City, Kentucky. It's kind of hard for me to remember to introduce myself. I would very much appreciate your prayers this evening. I'd like to speak about responsibility. Appreciate the special songs. Can you feel the lateness of the hour? There's a battle going on. If there was ever a time to sit down and do nothing, it's not now. There's a cause that we're fighting for. Lord, take my life. I owe it to Thee. Whatever You ask, I'm willing to do. And if you're here this evening, welcome, and I'm glad. But if you're here this evening and you feel that living for the Lord is just kind of a peace and joy and get full of good food every day experience, I'd like to call you to something higher tonight. Got a verse in Revelations that the Lord's been echoing in my mind for the last few weeks. Maybe we won't even turn there. I've got several scriptures I'd like to read, but it says in Revelations 14 and 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. This is a time where we have been doing some grieving recently. And I shared in that. And I was at the funeral service of my uncle earlier. I guess it was last month. And appreciated him very much. I felt like he was a pillar. I remember him standing right here in this place and talking about the pillars of this tabernacle and how much weight they bear and how much responsibility they take. You know, he was one of those in my life. He was my mentor and he was my friend. And it didn't really matter when I needed help. It didn't matter how late it was or how long the meeting had been going on or how tired he was. He was there. And at his graveside service, I heard the minister that was taking care of that looked at the open grave there and said, Brother Phillips' work is finished. It's finished. But you know, and I thought of this scripture, but you know what you can infer from this scripture? It says that there's a time that they may rest from their labors. There's a time that they don't have any more responsibilities. There's a time that you are going to be able to get a reward. And oh, what a reward it's going to be. Ever thought about that? But that time's not yet, if you're still here today. that they may rest from their labors. That means that everyone that has not crossed that, made that crossing, isn't at that point yet. They have labors. You and I, every one of us, we have a responsibility. We have something that the Lord has called us to. Part of His body. You know that every one of us are called to be a very unique, distinct member of Christ's body. Nobody can fill your place in the body quite like you can. The scripture that I think of the scripture, and I don't even have it written down here, but it says that we're members in the body, and when one suffers, we all suffer. I know that that's talking about some a sort of a fellowship and a brotherhood, but I believe this, that it won't do any violence to say that when there's a member that drops off the scene or is not what they should be anymore or whatever, that there's a lack. There's a lack in the body. You may feel like you really can't do anything, you're not able to do anything, or I'm not spiritual enough or whatever, but the Lord has a distinct responsibility and a duty for you. And if you feel like that it's something that is optional, I want to call you to something higher than that tonight. I appreciate your prayers this evening. I need them. Now, Paul spoke of his responsibility in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in the 16th verse. He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And the Lord gave me last year, He gave me a vision, not like a vision where I had an out-of-body experience, but He gave me a vision of an understanding of that this whole thing is a series of things that are committed to our trust. I have things that are committed, just like the man with the talents. Maybe this is something you got a hold of a long time ago. But I had an understanding that the Lord wants to deliver something to you. He wants to deliver something to me. It's a package of responsibilities that He wants you to fulfill. And He gave you all the tools to fulfill that place in the body. And we have, you know, I don't want to at all take away from the thought of we love Him because He first loved us, and I want to serve Him, and I do, but I want to tell you that the feelings of want to are not always there. All right? Is that all right? They're not always there. And we get up sometimes and we have responsibilities, and sometimes we don't feel like getting alone with God and taking the time that we need. And there are times when we have responsibilities in the family, in the home, on the job, sharing the gospel, all those kind of things. And we don't have maybe the warm, fuzzy feeling's not there. But our responsibility's still there. We have responsibilities. My responsibilities are not the same necessarily as your responsibilities. I think there are some responsibilities that maybe we, pretty much all of us, share. But there are distinct responsibilities that we don't share. I'd like to share with you a scripture in Luke that the Lord gave me. A few years ago, the Lord called me to preach. And I had a real struggle with it, I'll tell you. And I told my wife, I'm not good at speaking in public. Can't articulate. And my thoughts get all defragmented. And she said, "Well, that's what Moses said." We all know what trouble Moses, the Lord wasn't too impressed with Moses at all when he tried that. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." And I remember the first time that I got up in the pulpit, and it was at home, and the Lord gave me some thoughts, and I got up and gave them as best as I could. And I got down, and the devil started beating me up. Said, "You did a horrible job. and all that. I really don't even remember all the emotions I had, but I remember one thing. The Lord gave me a scripture in Luke 17:7. I'm going to read this. It says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" And I took that scripture and I said, "Devil, maybe I didn't do a good job, but I did the best I could. The Lord gave this to me. If I didn't do a good job, the Lord's the one that helped me speak it. It's kind of on Him. If I didn't do a good job..." You know what? I want to tell you that there have been other times in my ministry that I preached and the devil came again and said, "You know, you did a really good job." And I can use the very same scripture and say, I didn't get up there to make everybody jump and shout. I had a duty. I had a responsibility. I did it. It was my duty to do. And I'm an unprofitable servant. I didn't have anything that I brought to the table that was of my own self. I didn't have any kind of anything on hand that came from me and my whatever abilities I may have. They're not of myself. And if I had them, they came from God. And if I was born with them, they came from God. The Lord gave me a duty, and by the Lord's help, I'm going to fulfill it, whatever it is. And the Lord gave something to you too. You don't have to be crushed under the weight of, you know, "I did a horrible job with this." I remember there are many things that I would get done with, and I would feel crushed because I didn't perform like I thought maybe I ought to. But if what you're doing from a sense of responsibility, and you know that that's what the Lord wants you to do, you can take this scripture and say, "I'm an unprofitable servant. I didn't have anything in myself. The Lord told me to do it. I did the best I knew how. I trust the Lord will do something with it." And I want to tell you that the devil uses that fear tactic a lot of times, and it's just a big lie, because many times, I'll tell you personal experience, I have delivered messages and done other things besides preaching that I thought, "Well, this is the biggest flop ever," and got finished with it, and it produced far more results than I thought it would. And so may the Lord help us today that we will not be discouraged. And I want to challenge you this evening: consecrate to being a failure for the Lord. Because you have a responsibility. Any work that you do for the Lord is not to give you a self-esteem boost, but the Lord will help you with your self-esteem. It's your responsibility. The Scripture says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God," which is what? An option? It's your reasonable service. It's my duty. It's my responsibility. Not always going to feel like it. Doesn't change the fact that it's still my responsibility. I've told my children just coming here to Monarch. I have said things like, if you're playing and you see a piece of paper, stray piece of trash fluttering around on the ground, there is nobody on this ground that has a greater responsibility to pick it up than you do. And there are many other things. Sometimes I feel like that we can come and we can say, "I'm part of this group." And you can tell your friends, "Well, we get our prayers answered around here." But I want to ask you something. How do you want, when you get sick, do you want people to pray for you like you pray whenever there's a burden for prayer? I'd like to talk about prayer for just a moment. There's so many things we could talk about. I'm just going to narrow in on a few of them, all right? You know, it's out of my comfort zone to pray in public, and it's out of my comfort zone to preach, and it's out. But I want to tell you something. If the Lord puts a burden on you, there's no one with a higher responsibility to do it than you at that moment. I feel like many times that, well, Lord help me. When we go to prayer, right? Maybe the Lord gives a burden for you to pray, and maybe He doesn't. If you feel the burden, I'd like to encourage you to do it. I feel like we could have some more of that. Surely the Lord has burdened more than half a dozen people to pray in this meeting. I don't know. I haven't counted how many there are, but sometimes I've thought, you know, I'd like to hear some more voices praying. Taking that burden. But you know, maybe the Lord doesn't give you a burden for it. Somebody else leads out in prayer. Well, somebody else is praying, so I guess I can figure out. I can check my email. I wonder what's on the news. I'm being a little bit... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't structure it that way. If you... You know, I'm not saying this is the only way that it has to be done, but the way that it's set up, that we do it, is... And there's probably a bunch of different reasons for it, but one person prays. If everybody prayed at the same time, there wouldn't really be any agreement, and it'd be kind of chaotic. I feel like I have seen places where it was more a little bit that way, and they divided into groups. And I'm not here to criticize anything like that. But here's what I want to tell you tonight. When somebody here has a burden for prayer, and they say, Lord, we need your anointing at this meeting. Lord, we need you to make a difference in this person's life. It's not time to check her email, right? You may have responsibilities, all right? You may have responsibilities. You may have a small child you need to take care of, all right? There are responsibilities that overshadow other responsibilities. I'm not talking about that. The way we have it structured is not, well, who's going to pray? All right, somebody pray. Well, everybody is free to do whatever while we pray, and then we move on. Our services are not performances. They're not shows. We don't come with the idea of, well, I wonder what I'm going to see what I can get out of it. I appreciate the online thing. You don't have the... But I want to tell you, I try to enter into the burden of the prayer when I can if I'm online. What's it going to hurt? It's going to help. It's going to help is what it's going to do. The Scripture says the fervent, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I can point you to several Scriptures in the book of Acts where it talks about them getting under a burden for prayer and them being in one accord, which is why I think we do what we do. One person gets under a burden for prayer and says, Lord, help this situation. And 100 voices say, Amen, Lord. That's what I think needs to happen too. Lord, would you help this? And there may be some tears. But you know, when one person prays, we're not just automatically freewheeling until the prayer's over. All right? Maybe enough about that. I think about I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Matthew 9:35. I know this scripture was read a couple days ago. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I want to ask you, do you think the situation's any better today than it was then? I heard the statement made earlier in the meeting, there's probably more idolatry now than there possibly ever has been in the history of the world. And I look around, and I think I agree. There are a lot of broken families because of that. There are a lot of children that their daddies and their mommies are giving themselves to things that they don't have any business doing. Jesus had compassion on all those, on all that brokenness. And He said, the harvest truly is plenty. And then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. And I want to tell you, it's not any less plenteous today. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Do you think that He was telling His disciples, ask the Lord to send somebody else to do something about this? You know, I told my children, if you see a piece of trash, there's nobody that's got a better, more of a responsibility than you do to pick it up. If I'm going, there's exceptions to that, all right? Don't get into bondage. But I want to tell you that we need, as the people of God, to be under a burden and say, Lord, what do You want me to do? It's hard for me to live a life to myself when I'm aware of the trafficking, all the situations that you hear about in the world today. Some of the situations, I can't even speak them from here. You can look some of them up. There's brokenness everywhere you look. People need the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's the only thing that's going to change this situation. It lifts people up above themselves and gives them the power to have a fully functional life. The Lord is able to restore those lives. He's able to restore that the cankerworm, the palmer worm's eaten. I believe that. But we can play a part, and the Lord wants us. You know, we are the ones. We have a responsibility. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You and I have a responsibility. The Lord may never call you to preach in the pulpit or to go into a foreign country, but He'll call you to do something. And I want to tell you this. You already have a responsibility. You need to be finding out what it is. You need to get under. You need to seek the Lord and say, Lord, would You please help me to have a burden that's so strong that I can hardly stand it. And help me that I'll know what You want me to do. Because You, tonight, whoever you are that's listening, you have a distinct, defined purpose for the Lord. There's such a great need for workers. I think there's different things that I can hear people saying. I know that there are situations sometimes where you can disqualify yourself from what the Lord wanted you to do. Thank God for His great mercy. That doesn't alleviate you from responsibility. The Lord can take that vessel, marred as it may be, and make a different one. And He can give you a place, a brand new place in the body of Christ that you can fulfill. Maybe you feel like that you're past the time that to fill the responsibility. Maybe there were things you used to be able to do and you can't do them anymore. I think of a lady in the New Testament named Anna. It said that she was of a very great age. She didn't depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She had... I don't know, that's one woman I would really like to speak to. I'd like to say, tell me about your younger life. You know, I doubt that's what she did when she was 30. I'd say she was probably very instrumental doing whatever she could do and seeking the Lord back then and saying, Lord, how can I do Your will? She was of a very great age. She couldn't go help build things, and she maybe couldn't even go and help cook anymore. I don't know. But it said that she served the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day, and I am greatly challenged by that woman. There's a place. There's a responsibility for you to feel. There's really not any retirement. Okay? I hear about people retiring from the ministry and things like that. Not here really, but I've heard, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a retired pastor. You know, the Lord may call you to do something else, but you don't retire from the work of the Lord. You don't retire from responsibility. If the Lord retires you from one job, He's going to give you another. And my burden this evening is that you will have a sense of responsibility to say, you know what? I have something I need to be doing. I'd like to read in 2 Timothy 2 and the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If you go down to the 21st verse, it references those things and says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You might not know what the Lord wants to call you to this evening, but I just want to reiterate to you that the Lord has something for you. That's specific for you. It's something that nobody else can quite do like you can, and it's because the Lord particularly fitted you. It's amazing to me how many unique things the Lord has made. No two fingerprints, no two snowflakes, no two workers in the body of Christ. You can do something that is so needful in the body of Christ. But so many people, you hear, catch what this said? It said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared in every good work. There's a saying that I've heard several times, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Well, I didn't used to really understand that phrase, and I thought, well, God's not going to send unqualified people. If you're not qualified, you shouldn't be doing the Lord's work. That's true. But the Lord has a qualification process for each one of us that He wants to take us to. I remember I said a few years ago, the Lord called me to preach. But years before that, the Lord came. I remember I was on my way to the airport. I had a 6 o'clock flight, and I had to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and 2:30 or something. And I got in my vehicle, and I was so tired, so sleepy. I thought, well, boy, this is going to be a drive. I had an hour and a half drive ahead of me. Well, the Lord got in the car right next to me and started speaking to me. And this was one of the scriptures studied to show that. Prepared unto every good work. Need to purge yourself from these things. You know, the Lord, you know that it is our responsibility to avail ourselves of the grace of God. It doesn't really work to say, you know, I don't think the Lord would ever call me to this because I'm not spiritual enough. You can be as spiritual as the most spiritual person you can think of. You probably better not be doing that anyway, because the Scripture says not to compare ourselves among ourselves. And you don't know. But you know, you understand what I'm trying to say. There is no limit to how spiritual you can be. You can get in the Word. You can get in the Spirit. You can make that. You give yourself to God. Lord, take my life. I owe it to You. It's Your reasonable service. Don't just do it when it feels good. You say, Lord, I want whatever You have for me. And the Lord will start talking to you. And the Lord talked to me. I'll tell you what, I wasn't sleepy one single minute on the way to the airport because the Lord was filling my soul with things. You know what they were? It was all kinds of people in the Old Testament and the New that were unable to get to where the Lord called them to be. And the Lord had a calling and a responsibility. And I looked at all those guys. I looked at Saul and I think Samson was one of those people. And the Lord spoke to me. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what You're calling me for. But Lord, help me. Take me through the process. I want to get there. I want to be able to do. I want to be available. I want to be ready. I'll do whatever You want me to do. And from that time, there came 2.5 years, some of the hardest years of my life. Trial after trial and and all kinds of things. And sometimes we shy away from those and we skirt around them and we do everything in our power to be able to avoid them, when all the Lord's doing the whole time is giving us the qualification process to do what He wants us to do. It's my burden tonight. You might not know what you are supposed to do, but you have a responsibility to be available, and you have a responsibility to be as qualified as you can possibly be and be ready and open and waiting and say, Lord, I'm not going to sit. What do you want me to do tonight? What do you want me? What do you want to call me for? I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm not spiritual enough. Well, get down to the altar and start digging. Get on your knees. You never know, and you may never know what the Lord called you to if you don't do that. There's a scripture that says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We try to short-circuit the dirty jobs. Well, I need to be singing a special song over there at the tabernacle, so I'm going to let somebody else clean the bathrooms. I know it's my day because it's not there on the paper. Y'all ever pay any attention to those papers in the bathrooms? They got numbers on them. Those numbers are responsibilities. That's a responsibility. It might not be for everyone because there are people that have other responsibilities. But the point I'm trying to make is that nobody has no responsibility. We all have something that the Lord wants us to do. And I think of a scripture in Acts, the 6th chapter, where the apostles called a group of people together and said, look, it's not that we... I'm paraphrasing a little bit. They weren't lazy. They said, it's not reason that we leave the Word of God and serve tables and all that. And so they did a division of responsibility there. But I want to tell you that those people, they had put in their time in those things. There are some times when you can't do one thing because you have to do another thing. But you better make sure what your responsibility is, and not just because I don't want to clean the bathrooms. I just want to leave that with you. Like to talk about a couple other things. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'd like to drop down a little bit to the 9th to 18th verse. And he said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I think of another scripture in the preceding chapter that says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. There have been things in my walk with God and in the responsibilities the Lord has given me that I didn't quite see, quite like other people that I've grown up around and worked among. And I had something, that a question that came to my mind a while back, and I thought, what would I do in this situation? What am I going to do? Don't have the same conviction here that others have about this. And the thought came to me, you know, I could say, well, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing, because the Lord didn't show me that the same way, and so I'm just going to do it. But then I thought, you know, if I do that, the sphere of influence I have is among these people. And what kind of damage will it do? And I had that thought a while back, and it was something that wasn't... I don't want you to think that I'm a heretic, but it was... You know that we have to be careful, and we have a responsibility in the way that we conduct ourselves. It's not just a free-for-all. If the Lord calls you to a, if the Lord has called you to a responsibility, if your sphere of influence is going to be, if people in your sphere of influence are going to be damaged or wounded by something just because, well, I don't see it quite that way, be careful. Because you'll shirk your responsibility and trade it for, well, I just don't see it that way. I have liberty. I have Christian liberty. We have Christian liberty, don't we? It's a beautiful thing. But be careful. Like to, you know, if you have a responsibility that you know what it is and you feel like the Lord wants me to do this, you know there are times we have to fix things. Scripture says, ye also, in 1 Peter 2 and 5, we won't turn there, but it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave some instructions in Matthew. He said, if you bring a gift to the altar, you remember that your brother's got something against you. Go take care of it. Do whatever you can do to make reconciliation. Don't drag those things into whatever you're trying to do and bring a reproach and a shame and a question. Sometimes these things are hard to do. A lot of times all that's needed is a simple, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I want to call you to a sense of responsibility this evening that will constrain you, that will motivate you to have the mind of, Lord, what do you want me to do? Give me a burden for you. If all it is that I'm... I don't want to even speak of it in that language. If you want me to fast and pray, that's important too. If you want me to encourage the brethren, if you want me to go to Africa, Lord, I'm yours. Just show me. And in the meantime, until you show me, I'm going to do everything I can to be ready and waiting and available for every good work. Because if you're disqualified from something, and it's just because the Lord... There's a learning process. The Lord takes us through a qualification process. But you know, the Lord did not call me to preach until I had gone through a series of things. I'm not saying I'm finished. You know that. But the Lord will work with us our whole life. But the Lord has a qualification process to take you through. And my exhortation to you tonight is to not shirk that, because it's your responsibility to be ready and waiting and available for whatever the Lord wants you to do. You pray for me.